Thanks for checking out the VU Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message encourages you.
If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Luke chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 1. And at the top in my Bible, it says the first disciples right above chapter 5. And I love this. We're about to read how Jesus called the very first disciples, the first of his 12. So this is a story that I love. Let's start in verse 1. One day, as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats, say empty, at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. Stepping into one of the boats, Jesus asked Simon, its owner, to push it out into the water. So he sat in the boat and taught the crowds from there. Jesus is preaching from a boat, you guys. This is, we're in a middle school. We think it's, you know, it's cool. He's in the ocean. I mean, he's in a boat. This is incredible. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let down your nets to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. And this time their nets were so full, say so full, of fish, they began to tear. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you. For he's awestruck by the number of fish that they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James, John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. And Jesus replied to Simon, this is my favorite part, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. I want to speak to you on the next few moments on this subject. Yes, man. Yes, man. And if you're a woman, you can write yes, woman in your notes. We're not a sexist church. This is for everybody. But why don't you pray with me right now? Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity that we get to meet, to talk about you corporately, God, to build our faith together, to grow together. I pray that as we open up your word today, that you'll reveal yourself to us. That's the only reason we're here, is to get closer to you, to know more about you. Bless our time together. Let us have the best time as we learn about you. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. Well, hey, we believe here at VU Church that church should not be endured, but it should be enjoyed. So as I'm up here preaching, will you preach with me today? Will you help me out a little bit? I think we're going to have a lot of fun, but I need your help. So we're talking about this thought of yes, man. And you're there in your seat and you're going, this is a movie. Did this guy really name his sermon after a movie? Yes, next week we're going to be talking about Dumb and Dumber. No. This movie, I just love it. Jim Carrey is one of the greatest actors of our generation. Come on, he's incredible. But I love this movie. And if you've never seen it or if it's been a while, basically this movie starts out with Jim Carrey. He's upset. He's depressed. He had just been dumped by his girlfriend. Not a good place to be. His friends and his family, they're all reaching out to him. And they want to hang with him. But all he says to everyone is essentially no. But one day his friends, they just show up at his house. They bust down the door. They grab him. They say, hey, we're going to this convention tonight. You're going to love it. Come with us. So he reluctantly goes with them. And at this convention, it's all about saying yes. It's all about saying yes to the opportunities that you're presented. And at this convention, Jim Carrey makes a pact that he's going to say yes to every opportunity that comes his way, which is a dangerous thing to say. So his friends, like good friends would, they take him out to the restaurant to celebrate, and they get all the hot sauce and wasabi that they can find, and they have him snort this stuff because he has to say yes to everything. But through this whole thing, Jim Carrey's life completely changes. And he starts to live a life of adventure, and he starts to get opportunities that he would never dream of if he didn't start to say yes. I think you and me, as believers of Christ, we say things like we want to be used by God, and we have big dreams for God to use our gifts, but many times when he places a small opportunity in front of us, we say no. I believe today that if we just paid a little bit more attention to the opportunities around us rather than trying to make things happen ourselves. God would give us every opportunity we need. I think God can open up doors that no man can open. He can shut doors that no man can shut. He's got you, but we just have to say yes. And I think in the text, there's three different things that I want to bring up that Peter says yes to that I think we also need to say yes to. So if you're taking notes, the first thought is say yes to being empty. Say yes to being empty. Go back to verse 1. It says, one day as Jesus was preaching on the shore of the Galilee, great crowds pressed in on him to listen to the word of God. He noticed two empty boats at the water's edge, for the fishermen had left them and they were washing their nets. So all this stuff is going on. Jesus is about to preach. It says crowds are literally pressing in on him, but something gets his attention through it all, and it's these two empty boats. So this tells us immediately, it tells me that what gets God's attention is emptiness. But for me, I don't think that I would have noticed these empty boats. If I was about to go up and I was about to speak and I had my friends and there was a big crowd, I'd be worrying about what I'm going to say. I'd be worrying about the people that are so close. How are we going to do this thing? But no, Jesus notices these empty boats out of everything. And what it tells me is that he was probably actively looking for them if he noticed them out of the craziness of the day. You know, when I was in elementary school, we used to go to the library ever so often. They wouldn't take us much for whatever reason, but we'd go to the library, and when we'd go, they'd say, hey, you got an hour, pick any book you want, read it. So I said, cool. There's always this one book that I really loved. It was my favorite read. It was Where's Waldo? Does anybody know this book? Where's Waldo? This is one of the reasons I don't read so well, but I look for things really great. So if you lose your keys after service, you just come to me. I'm going to help you find them. But basically, if you don't know what Where's Waldo is, it's this picture book. There's no words in them. And the whole point of each page, I know, this is horrible, is to find Waldo. Where is Waldo? Waldo's this little guy. He's got a white and red striped sweater. And he's in every page. But each page is designed to be so crazy. Each page is designed to have so many things in it. You wouldn't find Waldo unless you're intentionally looking for him. And I see the same thing in the text. Jesus is going and he's looking for something to use. And he's looking for somebody to say, hey, Lord, I'm empty. You can use me. You can use my brokenness. I don't know it. I don't have it all together, but I know you do. And I think you can use my emptiness. I want to show you a story in the Bible to just show you how God is actively looking for those who are empty. Luke 15, 4 through 7, it says, so Jesus told them this story. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them gets lost, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go search for the one until he finds it? And when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends, his neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. God's looking for you. He's looking for the empty. He's actively looking for you. He's not just satisfied with the people that we have in this room. No, he wants us to go help and find his children that are out there. But what I love about Jesus and him looking for the emptiness is that he finds it in Peter's boats. So he goes to this empty boat that he notices and he says, Peter, can we use this boat? I want to preach from it. And it requires a yes from Peter. Jesus doesn't just see emptiness in your life and just immediately fill it. He just doesn't see the brokenness in your life and immediately fill it. The Bible says he stands at the door and he knocks. He'll never force his way, just like he didn't force his way on the boat. He'll completely be polite and ask you, do you want me to take over? Because I know what I'm doing. That admission, however, it takes humility, right? I think it takes us saying just that. God, I don't have it all together. I don't have all the answers. I need you to do this thing we call life. I mean, imagine being on the side of the road and you're out of gas, you're in your car, someone knocks on the door and they say, hey, see you're on the side of the road, spare tire, I have some gas, do you need anything? And you say, no, I'm good, I got it all under control, I'm okay. AAA is not on their way, none of your friends are on their way, you're trying to fill your gas tank with other things, but nothing's gonna get your car on because we all have a God-shaped hole in our heart and Jesus is the only one that can fill it. Is anyone thankful for a God that knocks at your heart that we can answer? Let's go back to the text and look at verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now go out where it is deeper and let your nets down to catch some fish. Master, Simon replied, we worked hard all last night and didn't catch a thing. But if you say so, I'll let the nets down again. Reading these verses, it's obvious to me that it was not Peter's choice or his intention that his boats were empty. He was trying his hardest all day to catch fish. He'd cast his nets all day, and he didn't catch one thing. When I go to my wife's grandfather's house and go fishing one of his ponds, and I don't catch a fish in 30 minutes, I'm upset. This is this guy's profession. This is what he does for a living. This is how he gets income. He's a professional, and Jesus said, hey, why don't you cast your net out again? And after he's already told Jesus, yes, you can use my empty boat, now he's saying, okay, Jesus, now I'll take my empty boat and I'll go cast my nets out again. I'll say yes to you. And this was interesting to me because, again, this is what Peter does. And he was about to pack it up for the day, so he must have known that this probably wasn't a good time to be fishing. It was probably done for the day. But he says yes. Why? My thought would be maybe we listen better when we're empty. Maybe we're willing to try a different way when we're empty. Here's another thought. Would Peter have said yes to God? Yes, Lord, I'll cast my nets out again if he had caught fish that day. If he had had a mediocre day and actually got some income, would he have cast his nets again? Friends, don't let the successes of today make you miss out on the miracles of tomorrow. Don't let him distract you. He's got more in store. So maybe you're here and you're saying, I'm empty. Stuff is getting out of my control. I don't know my next move. I don't have anything else to try. Here's the good news, is that's where God can deposit inside of us. This is the position that he actually wants us in. This is what makes Jesus do a double take in the crowd. When he's got craziness going around him, he's intentionally looking for it. And when he sees it, he's going to see you. And he's going to call you by name and he's going to knock at your door. And we just have to be willing to say, yes, God, I admit that I am empty. And yes, God, I am available. So let's be empty and available to what God wants to do. Are you in agreement with that? If you are, make a little noise in the place. So first, say yes to being empty. Secondly, say yes to being full. Say yes to being full. Let's look at verse 6. And this time, their nets were so full of fish, they began to tear. Say, so full. A shout for help brought their partners in the other boat, and soon both boats were filled with fish and on the verge of sinking. So Jesus takes this boat in the beginning of the text, in the first verse, we hear how it's empty, and he takes it to being so full, so full. Sometimes God makes it so easy for us to recognize what he's doing in our lives, right? Maybe you've been there, so in debt, get a terrible medical note, your family's broken, your marriage is not going good, but in a second, Jesus turns it all around and he makes it full again. He can only do it. You know, man, I was empty. It wasn't by my merit. It wasn't by my capacity, but it was by him. It's not by might nor my power, but by his spirit that he'll fill us up. I love that sometimes he makes it so obvious. But what is interesting is to see how many of us react to being filled. What's interesting is when you and I are filled, how we react to God. I think about the 10 lepers in the Bible, and Jesus is traveling. And he's going from this one city to the next, but in between, there's 10 lepers. And these lepers, if you don't know, this is a terrible skin disease, and it's contagious. So not only are they medically bad, but they are outcasts from society. They can't be around their family. They can't be around their friends. And they shout to Jesus, "Jesus, help us." And Jesus says, "Go see the priest." And on the way to the priest, they're all healed. They're miraculously healed, all 10 of them. So not only are their physical bodies healed, but their social status is back. Their families are back. Their friends are back. He restored everything. But what's interesting is their reaction to the filling, right? Because the Bible goes on to tell us that not 10 out of 10, not 5 out of 10, not 3 out of 10, but 1 out of the 10 came back to say thank you. I think today, that's a lesson for all of us, that after God does take us from being empty to so full, we need to count every blessing and remember what he's done in our lives. It's not us, it's him. But let's look at Peter's reaction. Peter's reaction. It's in verse 8. It says, "When Simon Peter realized what had happened, he fell to his knees before Jesus and said, 'Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man.'" So after Jesus does this incredible work, after he gets him better in his finances, after he takes a terrible day to being a great day, he doesn't say, "Thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful." No, he falls on his face and he says, "Leave me. I'm a sinner." It's interesting to me. I think that I would be jumping up and down for joy, but something in Peter made him feel like he wasn't worthy. He wasn't worthy of the filling. And I think that in this room, if you've recently gotten saved, or maybe it's been a long time, but you don't feel worthy of the filling and you don't feel worthy of who's inside of you, you're looking at your value and your purpose the wrong way. Imagine going shopping to Trader Joe's, Publix. In Louisiana, we go to Walmart. Wally World is what we call it. Underrated shopping experience. You go down the aisles and you pick out your Oreos, you pick out your milk, you pick out your steak, you pick out your eggs, whatever it is, and you go to checkout. You check out, you pay for it, and they just hand it to you. Just the items, no bags. That's a problem. It's gonna be really hard to get out to the car. It's gonna be really hard to get into your house. Now on the flip side, it's like, say you go to Walmart and you say, "Hey," I know none of you probably go to Walmart, but this is for me personally, it spoke to me. Say you go to Walmart and you say, "Hey, I want 10 bags, 10 Walmart bags. How much you want for it?" They'll probably be like, "Oh, have it for free. Have it for free." They're not worth much, but these bags are important because of the contents that they carry. And the whole value of this bag is not the bag itself, but it's what's inside the bag. That's the whole purpose. Our purpose is to carry his glory. Our purpose is to carry Jesus into all the world. That's what we're called to be full of. Here's another way to think of. Think of yourself as a treasure chest. Treasure chest. I like to think of myself as a treasure chest. The value of the chest is what's found inside. In fact, its name is completely different just because of what's inside. If you take the treasure out, it's just a chest. But with the treasure out, that's not good either. You need something to hold the treasure in. But what we get confused of is our value. And what you have to remember is as a treasure chest, it's not the chest value it's not the treasure's value that's determined by the chest. It's the chest value that's determined by the treasure. So you and I, it's not about the outside. It's not about the bag. It's about the contents inside. And I got news for you. You're carrying the King of Kings. You're carrying the Lord of Lords. You're a joint heir with him. We're full of the contents, and that's what gets us value. So if you're here today and you're trying to walk this thing out that we call Christianity, and you're trying to get your value from every day, did I get my devotion done? Oh, did I invite someone to church? It's not about you, it's about him, friend. And when we get that right, we'll begin to get our value right and see ourselves through the way that he does. After we get filled with Jesus, everything changes. Who we are changes. What we can do changes. It's not because of our merit or capacity, but it's because of our contents and who lives inside of us. Let's look at scripture. I love some of these verses about who we are because of our contents. I'm a part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a purchased people. You were purchased. Let's look at Revelation 12:11. I am an overcomer. By what? By the blood of the Lamb. Because of your contents, you're an overcomer today. I am a new creature in who? In Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's not just a better version of Dakota. It's not just Dakota 2.0. No, it's a brand new Dakota. He made you new when he saved you, when he filled you. And lastly, I can do all things. Talk right over that clap, sorry. I can do all things through Christ. Talked about it last week. We can't do all things on our own. We're not all that on our own, but when we're connected with him, which when you are filled, you are connected with him, everything changes. Going back to the car that ran out of gas, Jesus knocks on our window and we say, yes, God, no one's coming for help. I tried to use the world. I tried to fill up on other things. Nothing worked. Fill me up. He will fill you up. But he doesn't just fill you up so you can turn on the car, get the air conditioning working, get all the features of the car working. No, that's just one step. He fills you up to go for more, which brings us to our third point. First point, say yes to admitting you're empty. Number two, say yes to being full. Number three, say yes to more. Let's look at verse 9. For he was awestruck by the number of fish they had caught, as were the others with him. His partners, James and John, the sons of Zebedee, were also amazed. Jesus replied to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll be fishing for people. And as soon as they landed, they left everything and followed Jesus. Fishers of people. What I love about verse 9, 10, and 11 is when Jesus does this miracle, I think about why he did this miracle. I believe that he did this miracle. I believe that Peter got to this point of being full because Peter said yes to the first task. When Jesus said, Peter, can I use this empty boat? He said yes. Then he comes to the second yes. Peter, will you throw your nets out again, even though you've had the worst fishing day in the history of fishing? Peter says yes. And because of that, God does a miracle, and he makes them so full. But what I love is it's not just Peter's life that's affected. It says his brother Andrew, his partners James and John were also amazed. So because Peter said yes, because he said yes, I'll throw my nets out again. Because he said, yes, you can use my empty boats. He was filled, and his partners, his brother, got to see the goodness of Jesus firsthand. So without his obedience, those that were closest to him would never have experienced the fullness that it is to live in Christ. I think this is a word for someone in the room that if you're getting discouraged, you've been throwing your nets all day, you've been trying to talk to your family, been trying to talk to your friends, why don't you just keep saying yes to the next and watch as God fills you and watch as those around you start noticing? Because it wasn't just Peter that was a fisher of people that day. It was also Andrew, James, and John that left. So before Peter even said a word to these guys, before Peter even preached a sermon, before he even led a Bible study, before he invited someone to church, he had already brought three with him just by saying yes. I believe as you continue to say yes, Jesus will reveal himself to those around you. At our team conference a couple weeks ago, Pastor Gary Clark said something that spoke to me. He said, Some of us think that God does not have limitations. And that immediately got my attention because God doesn't really have limitations. But he said, God's limitation is that in the world that he created, where he created the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, he decided that any work that he was going to do, he was going to do through people. He was going to do through you and through me. So God's limitation could be us. Could be us. It's not the enemy. He defeated the enemy. But he chooses to do his work through us. And so I just want to remind you today that God wants to partner with you. God wants to partner with you to do his work. But what's he looking like? Where do you sign up to be used by God? Where do you sign up to be opened up so that you can do his work in the earth? Let me tell you what, it starts with emptiness, and then it starts with being full, and then it starts with deciding you're going to go to do more. Will you make a little bit of noise tonight if you believe that God wants to use you to do his work in the earth? Maybe you're here and you say, Dakota, I gave my emptiness to God. He filled me, and I'm so thankful for that. But I couldn't possibly partner with him to do more. I've screwed up. You think I can come to my family and say, hey, come to church. They know the old me. You think I can go to my friends and say, hey, come to church. Come to this new community that I found. It changed my life. No, they know the old me. And maybe you're feeling that way today. I know that I've felt that way in my life. You know, I was raised in a Christian home. My grandparents on both sides were pastors. My parents are pastors. And I was raised as a preacher's kid in Louisiana. And I went to a smaller Christian school. So growing up in that school and about my freshman year in high school, I decided, man, I'm gonna try to do something else. And I put God to the back burner of my life and I kind of tried to live life my own way. So I tried to do things and I tried to go around my parents, tried to go around God. I wasn't paying any attention to what he wanted for my life. Well, that only lasted a short time, maybe 1 or 2 years. And then I decided, hey, man, I don't like this without him. I'm going to get my life back with Christ. And maybe it's not you saying, I want to get my life back with Christ, but maybe you're just coming to Christ for the first time. And you remember the past that you came out of. And you're feeling like someone who couldn't go to their family, couldn't go to your friends, because that's how I felt. After I decided to put my life back in God's hands, I felt like I couldn't go back to my friends, talk to them about this Jesus that I'd completely disregarded for the past 2 years. So my junior year, I decided, you know what, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to hang out. I'm not really going to tell anyone about what God is doing in my life. But my senior year, before it started, I decided to try to take on this mentality of the yes man and to say yes to whatever opportunity God placed in front of me. So it was about a week before school and I got a call from our school's worship leader. Yes, our school had a worship leader. And they said, hey, Dakota, we're short on male singers. Uh-oh. Catch is I didn't lead worship. I didn't really sing, but I decided I was going to say yes. So that whole year may have been so hard on the audience, you know? I was giving it my all, man. I'm singing hard. I don't know if I'm hitting the notes right, but it was the most freeing, beautiful experience for me because I decided to say yes to the opportunities that he placed in front of me. But what I would say is that the thing that amazed me most that year is not anything about me singing because, again, it wasn't special at all. But it was about the conversations that I was able to have with those same friends that I thought would discount everything that I had to say. The same friends that the reason I didn't talk about it is because of these people. Not because they were mean or bitter, but just because I didn't feel like I was good enough. But if this is you in this place, I just want to tell you, don't live in that shame. Don't live in that regret. He doesn't wash us eventually. He washes us immediately. He wants to use you right now. He's ready for you to take the next step. He's ready for you to go into more. He fills up our cars, not so we can stay in the same place that He filled us, but so that we could go. What's the Great Commission? Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? And some of us here are fishers of people, and we're going, man, I don't think I'd really want to go out to Lincoln Road and have 100 tracks, and you're a sinner, come to Jesus. That's not what I'm saying at all. You don't have to be the street evangelist. All I'm saying is that right here, this is our motto, is to bring people that are far from God close to Him. So what am I saying? You can be a fisher of people right here. You know, everything we do is for that purpose. Sunday services, I Love My City, VU Girl, VU Cruise, name any of it. The purpose is not for a fun event to tap ourselves on the back and say, good job. No, the purpose is for people. The purpose is always people. So maybe you're here and He's filled you, but you haven't really stepped out to say yes to the next step. So here's maybe some next steps for you. Say yes to the growth track. Maybe you've been attending here for a long time. Now it's time for you to get plugged in to serve. Be a servant leader. You know what servant leaders are at VU Church? They're fishers of people. Thousands of people come to know Christ through this church, not because of the talents of the few, but because of a lot of people each and every Sunday say yes to sacrifice, say yes to getting up at 5:45 a.m. to setting up this auditorium. So maybe you're here today and you're ready to take the next step. Or maybe you're here today and you're full and you're trying to figure out what's next. Or maybe you're here today and you're just completely empty. What I would say is don't be ashamed of your emptiness. God sees you, and that's what gets His attention. He's so glad that you're empty, and if you'll just open up your life and say, God, whatever you want to do through me, I don't know the answers, but I know you do. He's knocking at the door, and if we'll just say, yes, God, come in, fill me up. And after He fills us up, if we won't just stay put, but if we'll have the courage to say yes to the next step and say yes to the next step, I believe that I'm looking at some yes men. I believe that I'm looking at some yes women who God is going to use to partner with to do His work in the earth. If you're with me, make a little noise in the 1 p.m. Come on, right now, why don't you lift your hands? Let's sing this out. Let's believe it, that He can do it again. Come on.
Our community at VU Church aims to reach our city and beyond with the life-transforming message of Jesus. Thank you for your support. If you want to further connect with us, you can find us online at vuchurch.com or on any social media platform at VU Church.